Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Theology at the Pub Melbourne podcast. Theology at the Pub is a monthly event hosted in Melbourne. For more information and to find out about our upcoming events, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or visit us at theologyatthepub.com.au. Grab yourself a drink and enjoy the talk.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, that's great. This works.
Thank you. Well, I'm sorry to interrupt your conversations. It seems you were really engaged in all kind of debates. Very good. Probably, hopefully, that will continue also afterwards. I've been going to different schools these days, and today in particular, young people asked some very interesting, complicated questions. One of the questions that struck me is the girl that stood up and said, so yeah, I'm Catholic, so does it mean that I need to convert all my friends? Now that's a good question. And that's a question I would like to place before all of you. The fact that you believe in God, does that mean that you have to convert all your friends? One thing I did in my life was study architecture. That was in my previous life, before becoming a priest. And architecture is a wonderful way of engaging with people, because we use architecture. It embraces us. We're basically telling a message through the architecture. Now you're wondering where are you going with regard to the question you just asked. Bear with me for a moment. When I wrote my doctorate about liturgy, I studied a monk and architect from the Netherlands who had thought a lot during all his life about what we do when we build a church. And what he said is, a church is nothing but the most beautiful house that we can construct. And what he did is apply all the rules of architecture, but behind his application of those rules, there was a beautiful vision of the world. And his vision of the world was, if I try to tell it to you briefly, you look around you, you see all those stones, you see the rocks, you see the trees, you see the beauty of nature. But we as human beings, we need to protect ourselves. We need to find a way to separate a part of that nature and make it our own. And within that part of nature that we separate, we grow and we go forward. In the beginning, we are just using what we can find. A few rocks will form a kind of a grotto, or we kill a bear and put the skin around us to protect ourselves against the cold. But once we develop ourselves, we start to communicate through what we are wearing, through what we are. And he was saying, this bare skin of the past, the uniform of a police agent or of a priest or of a sister, and we are communicating something with those clothing. It's not just to keep us warm, we're also sending out a message. And at a certain moment, the forms that we make, the buildings or the clothing, they can come to such a level that they are just communicating something. They are no longer really necessary. Like the priest who is vesting himself for Mass. We don't vest ourselves just to get warm in a cold church. We're expressing something with this clothing. And the same thing happens when you have a building which is being used for, well, for sleeping, for living, that it has a proper function. Especially when you look at the kitchen and you look at the different places that you need in a building. Once you are constructing a church, he says, yes, it is a place of gathering, but that's the only thing. You could have a simple roof, but instead, what we do, we make a beautiful building which is talking to us, which is communicating something. And that which is communicating is that we can have a relationship beyond that what we can see, beyond that what we can touch. For him, it was important that all the different objects that are being used in daily life, they play a role in our liturgy, in the architecture that surrounds us when we come together in a church to pray. Now, you're still wondering why I'm saying this in the context of the question that was asked. That is because this man was a man of very strong faith, and he had one great desire. That was to pass on this faith to as many people as possible. But instead of speaking about it, he wanted to show it. He wanted to show it in everything that he built, in everything that he wrote, in everything that he designed. He wanted to pass on that one message: loves you and only wants you to be part of his life. Whether he was successful or not in this is a great debate between all kind of people who analyze his work. But for tonight, the most important is that desire on other people, but also the way in which he tried to do it by helping people to experience what he wanted to say, rather than him trying to impose something. If you speak about passing on your faith, you don't speak about converting people, usually. You usually speak about sharing that which is most important for you. And of course, the big question is, how can you do that? You might not be a great architect like this man, but you have qualities. You've got another way, your own way, of living your life, of showing what is truly important for you. And if you're able to show the importance of the faith, it'll be a message that is far more important than when you're trying to impress on people the message that you want to pass on. Because a very fundamental truth of faith is that you cannot impress anyone. Now, that may seem strange, because the only one who can convert a person is God. Only God can convert the heart of a human person. Opens their heart, and that's where we can help them to discover the beauty of a life with God. And the first way we do that is by trying to live a life of faith, trying to live with God in such a way important element, that we try to grow in faith, try to live the faith. That's not new. Yeah, that's easy. And then the next phase would be, okay, now I am trying to live my faith and like to speak about it, especially to people who come to me and ask questions. That's marvelous. Do you need to study theology to do so? Do you need to look up all kind of manuals? I don't think so. I think that the most important way in which you can share your faith is just by telling what you, in your heart, believe. One of the things, and I'm happy to see that there's a few priests here, and whenever you have doubts about what I said, go to them and they will correct me. We look immediately to priests when we speak about bringing the faith to other people. But have you ever calculated what percentage of the church is priest, bishop, deacon, sister, pope? The percentage of this group is 0.3% of all the Catholics. Imagine you would be running a company and say, okay, I am going to use 0.3 of my capacity to do the most important thing that I can do. You wouldn't be in that company very, very long. Very often we look up to this small group of priests and sisters to do that important work of sharing the faith with other people. Whereas Jesus, he is speaking to everyone and he says, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. Baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He sends out all the people who believe in him to speak about him, about the love of God, and who wants. It's a great message. It's a beautiful message. Are able to speak about Jesus in such a way that I cannot do it. Simply because you are who you are and you are where you are. Once more, you don't need to study very long to be able to be a missionary. We have a missionary faith. Jesus immediately tells you when you get to know him, now, happy that you're here, but share this message with the others. And to everyone, to the man and the woman that he encounters, and he's sending therefore also you. That's not a very big mission that you should imagine. It is just in your daily life that you can do so. And in a minute, you will have some time to think about it. Maybe you can talk about it together. How could you, in your daily life, make a difference for other people and share your faith with others? Keeping in mind what I said, you cannot convert a person. Only the Holy Spirit can. But you can present the beauty of the faith. You can explain why for you it is important. And you can share why for you, you believe that God must be the center of your own life. And the reason I spoke about this monk and architect is that he tried to do exactly that. Through whatever he did, he wanted to show the beauty of the faith. He wanted to show the greatness of God. He wanted to help people to encounter him through his architecture. Even if you come in one of his churches and there's no liturgy going on, you feel that the building wants to tell you something. Now, hopefully you all have met sometimes a person who you believe, this is a person who's very close to God. Wouldn't it be great if people say that also of you? But if you want people to say that of you, without wanting to become important, you yourself will have to continue to advance in your faith, to grow in your faith, and to get to know Jesus better. When you're wondering about how to do it, how to speak about the faith, my first answer is always, well, look in your life and see what your qualities are, where you are able to share about what you live in your life. Because God is counting on you to share the gospel. And if you're looking for a few points that are important, we can look at Jesus. He is walking along the water and tells just a few random fishermen, come, follow me, I will make you fisher of men. He's telling you the same and sending you out. The apostles, they didn't really know what to do. Not even after 3 years with Jesus did they know what to do. Remember Peter? He didn't have a clue. He knew that Jesus was risen from the dead. And Jesus had said, go to Galilee, wait there for me, I'll give you your mission. Nets out, and of course he catches nothing because he had to wait until Jesus came and told him. It is similar for us, but we shouldn't be waiting. I'll explain that. So it is good to ask the Holy Spirit to help you when you want to speak about your faith. And it is good not to speak too quickly, in the sense that it is important to listen first. Peter didn't listen. He just went in and didn't catch anything. Until Jesus told him, throw out your nets, and then it worked. We need patience. And leave, as St. Ignatius of Loyola says, the creature with the creator. Sometimes just because of your personal testimony, you're doing more than when you're trying to convince somebody with all your might. Very often that's the case. Because in the end, it's the decision that people have to take in their hearts rather than you trying to hold them to our side. What they need is to encounter Jesus in their lives themselves. So do have patience. Do wait for the right moment, but do not hesitate to speak about Jesus, especially when you're speaking about it in a personal way. So there's a lot to be said about how you can share your faith, but I'd like to keep that for the second part, because I understand there will be a possibility to exchange a little bit about this after the break. So I would say I'd like to leave you with this thought of this architect who tries to show the faith, help experience the faith rather than convince people. And the answer that I gave this morning to this girl who wanted to convert all her friends, we cannot convert anybody. We can only give witness of what we want to say. We can explain and then leave it up to the Holy Spirit to convert the heart. There we are. Thank you. And I think that we will speak to you in some time.
We're going to head into a Q&A now, and thank you to all those that have put their questions in. But before we go into that, we just want to thank you all for your donations. TAP runs purely on donations every once a month. And so we just want to thank you for just your generosity in helping this continue to run. Awesome. Are you ready, Father, for your questions?
No, I'm not.
Alrighty, the first question, which was a pretty popular one, was, I'm going to start off with an easy one. Who was the architect that you were mentioning?
Right.
Oh. Yeah.
Very good, this works as well. So the architect is named Dom Hans van der Laan. Now you try to say that.
Dom Hans?
Van der Laan.
Van der Laan.
Very good. Applause.
So he worked in the Benedictine tradition. He studied a lot of texts, went through the ages looking at texts, and then discovered how all those different thinkers throughout the ages came to the same conclusion about heaven and earth not being so far away from each other, that through beauty and through architecture and through art, it is possible to encounter God and to recognize his presence.
I love that. That is so cool. Oh, we're just going to use one mic too. Awesome. Thank you so much. I'm going to have to learn how to spell that though, because I want to search it up. Awesome. The next one's a pretty serious one. I'm going to try and word it verbally, but it was about how do you stop feeling like it's a burden for you to feel like it's your responsibility to have someone else being saved. That was not English, but like kind of just like you feel like it's your responsibility, and you said it's not, it's the Holy Spirit, but you feel that burden because you want people to be saved. How do you get over that feeling?
And that is a really good question. I think that's essential to the message I'm trying to share with you. One of the reactions when I was talking to someone was, this was very liberating. Now I do not have to worry. If I have done my work, then I will just leave it open to the Holy Spirit. And then I bumped into somebody else who said, I met my girlfriend here, and she's a very good Catholic. Oh, marvelous. So I asked, did you convert her? I asked, just checking. And he said, no, she converted me. So there's two mistakes. We cannot convert. We can give a good example. We can tell with passion about Jesus, but we cannot convert the heart of somebody else. Now, the Holy Spirit is depending on each of you. So you have to collaborate with the Holy Spirit. But leave the responsibility in the hands of God, please. Because you are not just not as good as God, I think. Mm-hmm. I think most of us. Maybe Father is approaching there. So, sometimes we think that we have to do everything by ourselves, and that's not true. In fact, in my experience, the best results of my work are when I give up and hand over to God. Now that's not very easy, not for an architect who wants to have all the building ready, not for somebody organized, not for somebody writing, not for somebody doing whatever good things you are doing. But once you hand over to God, you're able to do much greater things than you think. And you'll be able to do it with a smile and a light heart. But it also means that you give all the glory to God. Because if somebody converts, it's not thanks to you. Okay, yes, you played your part and you've been grateful for that. But always it is the work of God, and you can thank him for that. All that to say, try not to worry. And whenever you do, whenever you think I'm responsible, pray for the person. Place your desire before God. Say, oh God, I would like this person to see the light of faith, the beauty. But do not let it become your burden. Because in the end, it's the responsibility not of you, but of God. with the help of that other person through your work, your intercession. Do you think that's an answer to that particular question?
Yeah, I think that's more than an answer. Oh, wow, that was really good. I was just in trance with thought about that. Anyways, moving on to the next question. On the similar thought, responding to the Holy Spirit, someone had a question, and I think this is such a great question. How do we navigate being both prudent and courageous by expressing our Catholic faith explicitly to people? Yeah.
That's a very good one. Now, that's one that I cannot respond in general. You would have to go to each of the situations, and that we can't do. But thankfully, you have received, each of you, a very good guide inside of you. And that is called your conscience. Once you're growing in a relationship with God, once you are learning to listen what God is asking of you, you will also discover that certain things make you feel better than other things. You do know how bad you can feel after you ended up in a fight with someone. You feel, that wasn't right. Now, that's a very clear expression of your conscience. But that same conscience can guide you in a much more subtle way when you're trying to navigate between, yes, speaking up boldly about the faith, but at the same time, respecting the freedom of every human being and also recognizing that there's a time for everything, as the Bible tells us. And another person will respond in their own time. We often want to go very fast. Someone else may need a lot of time. Let's leave that creation of God together with the Creator by just suggesting and then move to another subject. One of the worst things is if your friends are nagging all the time about when are you going to become a Catholic. That works in most cases counterproductive. However, if you continue to try to live as a Catholic, continue to give the example without speaking about it, hopefully it will see that you find a lot of joy. Now, we are very good as Christians at being serious. And very often I see great serious faces. Thankfully tonight I heard some laughter as well. Life is great. And all the things that we receive from God are telling us that we can be free. We can be joyful. And that is what God wants for every human being. So one of the great ways of showing the joy of faith is by living a joyful life, enjoying life in a way that is prudent, in a way that is in accordance with what Jesus is telling us, but also just being thankful for all the things. In a way, we're invited to become a bit childish in the sense that, oh, look at that, how beautiful it is, and oh, how great is this beer, or how wonderful is this conversation. How terrible is that speaker, but thankfully you're going to shut up very soon. So there's always something to be thankful for, and I think all this will help you to navigate between, on the one hand, the prudence and being careful not to hurt another person, not to step in the way of the Holy Spirit, because that's also possible. Try too hard, you might block the possibility of God to intervene. And on the other hand, to be open what we believe, but try to keep it with yourself rather than proclaiming grand truths that you read somewhere in a book. Try to put it in your own words and try to explain why this is important to you as a person. That will also help you to be prudent there. Now, there's a lot to say, but I think you have another question.
Yeah.
And there's another round of beer coming, I think, afterwards.
I think so.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. I come in if you want beer. Anyways. that was beautiful. On that same line of kind of being courageous, how do we deal with people who are hostile against our faith? How do we deal with that when we deal with hostile? What do we do when we experience hostility against the faith? Yeah.
So you will not be the first one who experiences that.
Mm.
A certain person called Jesus, he also experienced hostility against the faith. Great, well done. You know how to laugh. Look at how serious it is what happened to Jesus. And how much he suffered. still, he did it all to make it possible for you to sit there and laugh. And that's good. He enjoys that. He's happy about it. But also, it may make you, may help you think, okay, when I face hostility for a moment, I'm living that what Jesus went through.
Mm.
And I'm experiencing something that is really difficult. I'm trying to live with Jesus. That will be the first reaction.
Mm.
Try to just accept that it happens. And then the other thing is, you could very carefully try to present your side of the story, if the occasion allows for that. Whether it is possible, that depends on your situation. Very often it is not, because people are hostile, maybe very convinced about what they stand for. Maybe the best testimony is by saying nothing. But that depends very much on your situation. However, I think that something that could help is to offer that person who's very hostile a beer. I had myself an experience with somebody who was a very strong atheist at an international conference. I had to represent the Holy See, the Vatican. And this man spoke up against the Vatican about some issue regarding the Bible in a very, very accusing way, also playing on the person who was representing the Vatican, myself. And he did it publicly in front of all kinds of ambassadors. So after that, I went up to him and I said, can I offer you a beer? And he was just opening his mouth to continue his story. And he said, what? You are offering? So we went and had a beer, and he told me all the difficulties he had in his life. And then the next year when I met him, he didn't speak up, but he did speak up privately. So there was a great improvement there. And we had a good conversation about football and other things that are not directly related to the faith. I don't know whether he ever really found the courage to let Jesus convert him, but at least the possibility was open to talk and to converse. So it depends on your situation, what is happening, but don't forget what Jesus went through.
Hmm. Awesome. We've got two more questions. First question is, what do you say to Catholic friends who are thinking of leaving the church? How do we respond?
So you can say what you have on your heart. Yeah, say, I'm sorry to hear that. I think you're losing something. But I also think it is important to leave people the freedom to recognize what is important in their lives. You could try to engage in a conversation. Now, what has happened? What is hurting you? What is the difficulty? Very often, you will find that there's a great difficulty, a terrible tragedy, maybe. But yet again, you're asking very good questions. But of course, you are much better in answering those questions than I am, because you will be in that situation, and you will be you. Don't be afraid of being yourself and reacting in your way. Don't try to act the way I tell you to behave, but rather look at Jesus, what he does. He's speaking to everyone. He is speaking his heart, but he has a great love for every human being. Even if they tell him, I'm going to leave the church, he still loves them. Whatever they do, and the same is true for you, by the way, he loves you also. I don't know what you can imagine. But he does. And the same is true for all those people. If we look at people with those eyes, we already start the conversation in a different way. We already have a different point of access to these people.
Amazing. All right, final question. This is going to be a challenge for you as well. We've got a timer, 1 minute timer. Tell us how, like, your vocation story. How did you become a priest in 1 minute? Can you do it? Do you reckon? All right, let's go.
That's impossible.
All right. Time is starting. No.
I was happy. Had a car, a good career, money, and a girlfriend, but then fell ill. And then as I was ill, I felt a little voice saying, maybe you must become a priest. I didn't want to listen. But then this voice came back. And in the end, I said, okay, God, I give up. I give you 2 weeks to show me. And every day something happened that pointed me in the direction of priesthood. After those 2 weeks, I had to say, okay, I give up. Over to you, God. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Theology at the Pub. If you enjoyed the talk, let us know. Follow the podcast, leave a review, and share it with a friend. For our upcoming events, find us on Facebook, Instagram, or visit us at theologyatthepub.com.au. Until next time, God bless.